Good evening. My name's Kevin. I'm one of the fellowship here. Let me add my warm welcome to those of you that are visiting this evening to that's already been offered by Leslie, especially if you are a visitor here for the first time. We're really, really delighted to see you, and please don't leave without saying hello. I've got a question for you, and the question is this: how's your Christmas tree? I'm going to do a quick survey. Hands up, who's got a real Christmas tree in their house? Oh, that's a disappointingly small number. Who's gone the fake route? Oh, okay, I have to go the fake route as well. For those of you that have got the real tree, how confident are you? Is it hanging on in there? Is it going to make it to Christmas Day, or is it going to be a stick by then? Anybody worried that it might be a stick by the time they get to Christmas Day? There's a high degree of confidence on display. On the face of it, it's a funny idea, isn't it, ladies and gents? We drag a tree out of the forest, we set it up in a room, we festoon it with lights, with baubles and tinsel, and we let it drop needles for a few weeks, and then we put it out for burning or composting. Or maybe we replant it in the hope that it will grow back into the tree that it was destined to become. Turkeys, I'm sure, wish that they had that kind of option available to them after their Christmas service was done. There is, though, deep symbolism in that humble Christmas tree. Trees, as we've heard already, feature in the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Bible, and they stand in some ways for different aspects of the human condition. And that story is really the Christmas gift to us all, if we only choose to look for it, understand it, and accept it. There's a lot of depth in those readings, and we're not going to go through them one by one, but just in summary, our first reading told of the creation of the whole universe. In fact, it was cutting in to that creation story, and we were told that the creation of the universe was brought about by someone called the Word of God. In our second reading, God has designed a perfect world, and he puts, as the crowning point of his creation, creatures into that world, that in some ways, these humans are like him. They have God-like characteristics. And the third reading is a timeless parable explaining why and how we as humans decide individually and collectively that we're not really content with having a God rule over us and having thanks and gratitude for some God-given characteristics. Rather, in our hearts, we want to replace God. We want to be the boss of ourselves. And that's the point in the story where we get introduced to these two trees. The tree of life, which is the tree that represents real life and connection to God. And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree that represents us when we want to play at being God ourselves, and we want to decide what's best for us and for other people. It's that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the tree of playing at God and isolation from God. And the story, as humans individually, collectively reject God, could end there, couldn't it, friends? We humans, me, since the dawn of time, we've been creatures who by nature we love to be the center of our own drama. We love to reject the idea that any supreme being has any claim over our lives. So God could choose, if he existed, to simply accept that decision of ours and leave us to get on with things, perpetually condemned to lonely and isolated misery. And yet we hear in our fourth and fifth readings of promises to people, Abraham and to Isaiah, promises that to people whom God has chosen to make himself known. Abraham is told at this stage that he's going to be the first of countless followers of God, more than the stars in the sky. And 700 years before the birth of Jesus, Isaiah is told that the healing of this relationship that's represented by this tree of the knowledge of good and evil that humans choose, is going to be healed in the form of a child. But a child, curiously, who is also God. And both Abraham and Isaiah, I think, must have wondered if they'd eaten a little bit too much cheese before they received those revelations, because they are so fantastic as to be outrageous. And yet, 700 years later, God announces to a young girl called Mary in an inconspicuous part of the world that she is to be intimately involved in the fulfillment of those hundreds of years of very specific promises. And so he appears, the maker of the universe, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Even more amazingly, wrapped in the same skin that you and I are wrapped in. His arrival is announced not to the kings, the presidents, the celebrities of the world, but to the lowliest of people, cold, isolated, disregarded, stinking of livestock. Just let that sink in for a second. The creator of the universe chooses to wear your flesh and does it so that he can make himself known to everyone, irrespective of who they are, what they do, what they've done. Trees come into it again. 30-odd years later, that same Jesus is nailed to another tree, this time fashioned into the form of a Roman instrument of torture, a cross, offering himself, we're told and we believe as Christians, as payment in kind for that choice that we made for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, each one of us. Those of us who choose the path of rejection of God so that we can crown ourselves king or queen of our own lives, saying, I want nothing to do with God, move aside, leave it all to me. And here, friends, is where we come back to the Christmas tree. Before this Christmas tree was felled, it stood in a field somewhere, maybe like this, entirely in tune with its surroundings, rooted in good soil. Its tree-ness couldn't have been more tree-y than it was at that point. And that's the symbol for how humanity was before we collectively and individually set our faces to live life without God, which we've all done without exception since those early times that the Bible refers to as the time of Adam. But look at that Christmas tree now. Look at that Christmas tree now. It's outwardly beautiful, isn't it? It's got lovely lights. It's still well stocked with needles. The baubles are bright. Compared to its life in the field, it's a lot more blingy and superficially very attractive. And that's our state in our own minds when we are cut off from God. We can often look superficially very together, very blingy, even impressive. But the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, we've been sawn off at the root, and we're dying. Cut off from the rootstock of a relationship with our God and Creator, we head inexorably for the fire or for the compost heap. We might even, if we're honest, feel so lost, so pressured, so confused, that there's much about our particular tree that is fake and artificial. The empty, dead, discarded Christmas tree that we are destined to become is like the dead tree fashioned into a cross that Jesus suffered on whilst he died our death for us. The Bible talks about the tree of life being replanted at the end of times in the midst of a new world. This new world is for those who turn and accept this Jesus who came in the fragile flesh of a baby, your flesh, to model the perfect life we are incapable of living, so that we may have the hope in this life that we are incapable of fashioning, and the eternal life that we are incapable of earning. To be clear, those who follow Jesus are no better, and sadly sometimes worse, than the rest of surrounding humanity. But the mark of being a Jesus follower is being aware of that, that we are cut off at the root and we long to be replanted. A Christian has chosen to follow the eternal forester, who will permanently replant them in good soil. In this life, you might feel that you lack many of the baubles and superficial beauty that the world values, but the offer of Jesus this Christmas and always is to come and be replanted in the soil where you can begin to grow sound roots in this world and be brought to perfect fullness of life for eternity. Now, if on hearing that, you don't think this is the best news that you can get this or any other Christmas, friends, I can tell you, you can be 100% sure you haven't understood it. Can I encourage you not to leave this evening if you've got questions without just coming and saying, I'd love an opportunity today to ask some more questions. We run a number of courses through the year that are completely unpressured for people to come and ask their questions around the Christian faith and maybe deal with some of those preconceptions that they had. And please don't go, if that's you, without just coming and asking, how can I find out more? But for now, those of you that are in the fellowship individually, and for those of you that are visitors here tonight on behalf of the fellowship, can I wish you and yours a wonderful and blessed Christmas. And as you look at your Christmas tree this year, ponder its message with fresh eyes.